Welcome to Tech It to the Limit, the humorous and surprisingly informative podcast that makes digital innovation in healthcare as entertaining as it is relevant. I'm Sarah Harper.
And I'm Elliot Wilson. And we're here to pull back the curtain on the world of digital transformation in healthcare.
Don't worry, you don't need a medical degree to join in on the fun. Just a sense of humor and a penchant for all things health tech.
So buckle up, folks. It's time to
Tech It to the Limit.
Elliot.
What's up, Sarah? How are you? It's so exciting to be here with you on episode 8.
I'm so pumped. We are almost at the end of the season. I'm actually like, it's a little bittersweet moment for me because I love Tech It to the Limit. And when we go dormant, like the bears in the North Woods, I miss you.
I miss you too. But, you know, we snack on our little hibernation nuggets to keep us through the winter, right? To keep us warm. I don't know what I'm saying. I miss you too, Sarah, through the winter months, but it means that I have something to look forward to.
Okay? Why don't you tell me about health?
Oh my gosh, health was amazing. So, you know, the energy was really palpable. And I like going to health because it has a certain vibe to it, which is this one of positivity where venture capital is coming together with founders. And there's just all these founders all over the place that just want to change the world. And little do they know that they're going to get swallowed up by either their competitors or, you know, the lack of funding. Between that and like the high profile guests that they have, it's a lot of fun to go. And they had some serious speakers there this year. They had, you know, some celebrities, Lenny Kravitz or Lance Bass. Halle Berry came on and was launching.
Please tell me what these people have to do with healthcare technology. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Lenny Kravitz. I think he was just there. I saw him on stage. I think he was just there to look really good. And let me tell you, he looks really good. But
that's his job, isn't it?
I know. I kind of think what it is. But Lance Bass has diabetes. And so he's done a lot of work in the diabetic space. And Halle Berry was there and was launching a product line called Respin, which is all about women's health. And so
nice.
Yeah, it was really good. And she was a very dynamic speaker. But between the celebrities, they also had politicians and administrators like Chelsea Clinton was there. She was wonderful to listen to. I didn't get to see Jill Biden. I was already gone before they came. But apparently, like, they really beefed up to security, as one would expect. Seema Verma was there. There was
not as much security as the beef up for you, though.
No. You know, kind of people like that. Then they had provider leaders. You know, they had CEOs from Cleveland Clinic, Kaiser, health plans, et cetera. And then some of the big tech AI heavy hitters like Eric Horvitz, the chief science officer at Microsoft, or Kim Powell, the VP of healthcare for NVIDIA, talking about AI, Greg Corrado from the Google head of health AI. Like, they had some big heavy hitters there in that space. I didn't do a lot of listening to the sessions. That's not really what I was there for. The ones that I did, I didn't hear a lot of new stuff. But what I love to go there is just looking for new technology to see what's out there. And they had a lot of different pavilions all around this year. They really threw their money into this pavilion kind of setup for their conference. And so there was country or based pavilions like Korea, Israel. There was a global partners pavilion from countries all over the place. The Digital Health Hub Foundation had an amazing pavilion, and I was a judge for their awards. So that was kind of fun to see them there.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like the world's fair for health tech.
Oh my God, it totally was. That's like exactly what it was. But they had food as medicine and oral health, which were two new topics. I shouldn't say new topics. They're not new topics, but they were kind of new to this space. That was really kind of cool. But my favorite pavilion was the Nurse Innovators Pavilion. So I got to meet Rebecca Love, who was helping to put on that pavilion there. And it was just all new tech or new startups by nurse innovators. And that was really neat to see. So it was this huge focus on nurses this year.
No, I just said, sweet. I was going to ask, did you see Bonnie Clipper there?
I did.
Nice.
We totally did. We caught up with each other, said hi. She's hysterical as per usual. And then we caught up again at the Busta Rhymes concert, which, by the way, that's the other thing that was there. There was,
What?
yeah, so Busta Rhymes was like the industry night, star. So it
This
was a
sounds
Busta
like
Rhymes
a
concert.
giant cash bath of a
Oh,
conference.
totes me goats. Way too much money. Way too much money is kind of out there. Like the Busta Rhymes thing was kind of lost on me. I mean, his heyday, like late 90s, I was a chubby, closeted white kid in musical theater. So like I wasn't doing a lot of listening to Busta Rhymes at that time of my life.
To be fair, you're still a white kid.
That is very fair. Very fair. But at least I'm not closeted anymore. So I've got that going for me. But I will sum it up. There was this great quote I did listen to that I heard from Matthew Lundgren, the chief data science officer at Microsoft, that I really liked, because there's all this buzz about AI and will it replace doctors and nurses and other clinicians? And he said, AI will save time before it saves lives. And
I love that.
isn't that a great quote? Like, yes, that is where we need to be focusing AI, taking out, adding time back into our clinicians' days to provide better care. Hashtag machines make care more human, right?
Yeah, we keep coming back to that, man. This is all your genius, changing the world one hashtag at a time.
But enough about my hashtags. You were busy this month too.
Yeah, actually, I was co-directing the Rural Health Symposium, which is our flagship CME course for Mayo Clinic Health System, where I work. And I had an amazing time giving out free hugs, connecting with people from around the world who wanted to think about what types of cross ecosystem and even cross industry partnerships are needed in healthcare so that we can truly transform at scale. So we had Santo Cruz, who's the chief legal officer of Centracare, which is a Midwest-based health system, alongside Tina May from Land O'Lakes, talking about the American Connection Project. And one of my favorite nuggets from their panel was Santo Cruz was quoting the Rural Movers study by Ben Winchester, who's a researcher at the University of Minnesota, kind of like shedding some light, busting some myths, really, that like there's this brain drain from rural America into the cities. He was really using an evidence-based approach to show that there's actually a brain gain in rural America and that the median age of folks who are moving back is 36. And the top reasons for their going have nothing to do with the economy or healthcare. It's all about the lifestyle, which I found so interesting as we think about how to make rural healthcare viable in the long term. When we try to recruit a workforce that is sustainable in those cities, we need to think about the whole community and not just like what kind of benefits packages are we offering, right? And so one of my favorite moments of the symposium is we actually highlighted some local artists in the evening at our reception, not Lenny Kravitz. Like the Lenny of Rochester, Minnesota, otherwise known as Clay Fulton, who's one of my favorite local musicians and songwriters. And then Samuel Hawkins, who's a spoken word artist, kicked off the evening with some of his poems that are inspired by community. And at first, a lot of people were like, what is this? I don't really get the connection. But it was perfect, kind of tying this message of artists build a sense of community and almost like a hearth that you can gather around in my town. And that's really what our leaders need to be thinking about as they think about investing in the future of healthcare. Another favorite moment was our AI panel, probably not as expensive as the one at Health. But it featured Eric Harnish of Mayo Clinic Platform, my medical director from the community practice, Dr. Rajiv Chaudhry, and also Dr. Matthew Karlstrom from our generative AI program here at Mayo Clinic. And I thought that they had some wonderful insights to share. Eric talking about design in healthcare technology and like how we need to make it seamless. I mean, I know we've been having this conversation for decades, but he asked the question, did anyone need to be taught how to use Amazon Prime? Like, come on, people, right? We can do this in
What a
healthcare
great
too.
point. What a great point.
And then kind of dovetailing with what you mentioned earlier from Matthew Lundgren's quote about AI saving time before it saved lives, Dr. Chaudhry made the case that the only way for community and rural health systems to truly survive and thrive is through the appropriate use of AI and automation at this moment of time. And I think what he was getting at was we do need to save people time so that they actually enjoy working in healthcare and stay, right? And then my final quote that I'll share was from Dr. Matthew Karlstrom when he was saying that the greatest opportunity for AI is to bring humanity back into the conversation between doctors and patients. So again, hashtag machines make healthcare more human, right?
Damn right.
So an amazing course, definitely a highlight of my year, and excited to be offering that again next year in
So cool.
2025.
So cool. Sounds like an amazing program. I wish I could have been there to get a free hug from you, as well as all of these amazing nuggets of wisdom and learning.
I am hugging you through the screen right now.
Well, speaking of making machines more human,
Who are we hosting on the show?
our guest today, this is so exciting, really big get. We are interviewing ChatGPT here on the podcast today.
The ChatGPT.
The ChatGPT. We thought it would be really fun and interesting if we trained a GPT or ChatGPT and prompted it to be a digital health expert. And so we did, and we are hosting and interviewing him this afternoon.
Yes, very excited to have Cat I Farted on the show. For those of you who don't know that ChatGPT actually means cat I farted in French, you can check out the link to the video that we're going to put in the show notes.
Yes.
just for a little,
ChatGPT.
poos and giggles.
For those folks that may not know what ChatGPT is, or what a GPT is at all. So it might be good to take 2 minutes and kind of explain what the heck we're talking about here. So in its simplest terms, ChatGPT is a chatbot that's powered by artificial intelligence, but it's not like a clunky one-word answer bot of the old days. No, ChatGPT is a large language model, which means it's trained on oodles and oodles of text, mostly scraped from Reddit, to understand, generate, and mimic human-like conversations. So imagine a digital parrot, but a really, really smart one that understands context and nuance. So, how does it work? So, it's built on a family of AI models called GPT, or Generative Pre-trained Transformer. This one happens to be developed by OpenAI,
Wait, are we
and
talking about Schwarzenegger Transformer? Like, is this
so, no, do you mean a Terminator?
I do. Sorry,
No,
I couldn't help myself.
this is a different robot in disguise. Anyway, so each word in GPT, it kind of reveals a little bit about how this all works. So generative, like this model doesn't just repeat answers, it's memorized, it generates responses based on a probability. Kind of like predictive text, but like on caffeine. So when you ask a question, it crafts a reply that's a new one every time. Pre-trained means that this model isn't just built from scratch every time you use it or play with it. It's pre-trained on this huge data set, books, articles, web pages, scraped from Reddit. So it already has this baseline understanding of language, or at least the crude language they use on Reddit. And then finally, a transformer. So this is the architecture that makes GPT so good at handling language. It breaks down your input and weighs words against each other and in relation to each other, like figuring out if bank means a riverbank or some place that you put your money or other deposits.
Like the kind of deposits my dog leaves at the park.
Sure, that's right. That's ooh.
Okay.
So that's what we mean by ChatGPT. That's what a GPT does, and that's why we thought it would be fun to play with one today.
It is going to be tremendously fun. And I will say, Elliot, that was an exceptional description of what Chat GPT is. But if you're listening to this show and you don't know what what ChatGPT is, I don't know what to say. Like,
it means that you have a curious mind and you love hearing about healthcare and thinking about it from a digital perspective. And we're so glad to have you here on our show, even if you don't know what ChatGPT is.
Fine. You're right. You're right. I should channel my inner compassion. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, go. Let's move to the game.
Oh, I'm so excited about this new game. So when we come back, a new game.
A new game. Turkey or tech. Welcome back, listeners. Who's ready for some awkward holiday get-togethers?
Ooh, me, I am. I can't wait.
Said no American millennial ever. No, seriously. I actually love Thanksgiving. I mean, it's not just because of the gravy and the stuffing, but that has a lot to do with it. I love seeing my grandmother. I love getting together with my niece and nephew. And you know, just like doing the gathering thing, doing the nesting, the warmth, drinking the red wine, you know, all the great pieces of it. But I digress. Let's, in the spirit of this, our most overindulgent annual gathering in America, this game is going to pitch real healthcare technology innovations up against some imaginary ones, all united in the name of solving Thanksgiving dinner-induced health woes, be they physical or mental in nature.
Okay, what are the rules of this turkey or tech game?
Turkey or tech. So each of us is going to take turns reading a product, and the other host, as you may have guessed it, is going to shout turkey if they think it's a fake product, or tech if they think it's a real product. The loser of the game has to take a selfie dressed as a turkey and post it on LinkedIn with the caption, "I'm a turkey," on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes. This sounds just perfect. I can't wait to see what you look like with a little gobbler.
I mean, I already sent a turkey inflatable costume to your home address from Prime. So you'll be ready when the day comes. Let's start out with like best of five. Do you want to do that and see where
best
that gets
of five.
Us?
Yes.
Okay, sweet.
I love it.
Would you like to go first, Mr. Wilson?
Sure. I will go first. As the reader or as the guesser?
You decide. You know, you're in
okay,
charge.
Okay. I'm going to read first.
Okay, sweet.
Okay. Are you ready?
Ready. Hit me.
The Calm Patch. This is a patch placed on the back of your neck that's claimed to induce relaxation post-meal, promising digestion as smooth as a spa day.
Okay, that's not why I thought I would need the Calm Patch at my Thanksgiving dinner, but I'm going to go ahead and say turkey. That just sounds ridiculous.
That's true.
Okay.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay, true facts. All right, 1 point. Gobble, 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 instead of ding, 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 for Sarah. All right, so you ready?
Hit me.
All right. Whoop is your personal accountability buddy for Thanksgiving recovery. This wearable tracks everything from strain, yep, both from workouts and family stress, to sleep and recovery.
Oh, I thought it was from pooping.
Did you stay up too late roasting the turkey? Whoop's got the data. Did you walk off a bit of stuffing? Whoop's analyzing that strain score, reminding you that even the walk to the fridge counts. Post-Thanksgiving, you'll have enough metrics to justify that extra slice of pie or to motivate yourself to take on leftovers aerobically. Best part, it calculates a recovery score, which Whoop fans swear by as the ultimate excuse to keep lying down or, when it's high, call to go hit the mall for some post-holiday steps.
I gotta go turkey. I gotta go cold turkey on that.
It's a tech! Whoop.com, baby!
No!
W-H-O-O-P.
No, I
Whoop,
thought for
is.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Because it just seemed, you know,
Yeah, I had to mask it, you know, a little bit. I had to mask it with my humor. All right, Sharper's up. 1-0.
All right, next up is Quell. Quell is a wearable device that uses nerve stimulation to help relieve chronic pain. It's like having a secret weapon against chronic pain strapped right to your leg, delivering nerve stimulation to keep those aches at bay. For those marathon cooks, all day long in the kitchen, tireless chatters, and anyone who's ever said, my back needs a vacation.
Oh my God, like all of my uncles.
Right. So, go ahead.
Ooh,
go.
Ooh, ooh. Quell. Quell, quell, quell. I mean, it has sort of a Game of Thrones type of like sound to the name. I'm gonna go with tech.
It is tech.
Woo! Sorry, that was a bit loud, listeners. I was just testing my mic. I haven't won a game all season, all right? I want this one. All right, 2-0. 2-0. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is Upright to Go. No, sorry, Upright Go 2. The Upright Go 2 posture trainer is your secret weapon against slouching at the holiday table, because nothing says I'm grateful quite like a good posture. This sleek gadget attaches to your upper back and gives a little vibration if you start hunching over that mashed potato mountain. Perfect for the relatives who comment on your posture. Sit up straight! Upright Go 2 takes over as your personal posture police, buzzing you back to attention with just the right mix of encouragement and exasperation. What's exasperation have to do with it? Whatever. Thanks, ChatGPT. Thanksgiving bonus, it syncs with an app to give you a posture score so you can compete for the title of most polite guest at the table or get passive-aggressively buzzed throughout the entire meal.
So I own an Upright Go.
What?
So it's tech.
Okay. You could have just told me from the get-go, but I guess our listeners, ooh, no pun intended, from the get-go.
All right, the score is 2-1, your favor. I'm getting a little bit nervous about wearing a turkey costume. Okay, so, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tell me, turkey or tech? Introducing Consistency Sense, the ultimate Thanksgiving sous chef for your sauces and soups. With a touch of sass and a dash of genius, this smart utensil is here to make sure you don't serve lumpy gravy or watery soup. So forget the guesswork and say goodbye to endless stirring and second guessing. So here's how it works. You dip the Consistency Sense in your pot, and it gets to work measuring texture and thickness with scientific precision. And when your gravy hits that perfect, rich, smooth consistency, it buzzes to let you know it's ready for the table. But here's the kicker. It doesn't just tell you when it's right. It tells you right on time. So there's no more scrambling to fix a chunky sauce before the turkey hits the table. And you'll have everybody saying, "You made this from scratch?"
Okay, number one, this has nothing to do with healthcare. Except for maybe giving everybody coronary artery disease. Right on time, right? I'm going to go with turkey, even though Julia Child probably wants one.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is also terrible name, terrible brand name.
Yeah, ugh. Like back to the drawing board. All right.
Consistency Sense.
This one is called Family Flow. Family Flow is a smart speaker designed for family gatherings, set to automatically change the topic every 5 minutes with a chime sound, providing a cue for everyone to move on to a new topic. It also has an escape mode where you can set up a button to discreetly activate an urgent reminder to leave the room, perfect for dodging prolonged interactions with that one awkward relative. Family Flow markets itself as your family's conversational safety net.
Okay, also not healthcare, but okay.
Hey, it has to do with mental health.
I mean, you know, but if your family is... Anyway, I don't care if it's real or fake. I want one of these, please and thank you. But I'm going to have to say turkey.
Turkey, for sure. Okay, seriously though, if your family gatherings drive your anxiety, this product is for you. That's the health connection. All right, so the score is 2-1. Sharper's up?
Yes. Okay. The score is 3-2.
Okay, good thing you're writing it down. What's that thing called in your hand? I don't recognize it.
Pencil. But it's a mechanical pencil.
1990s innovative product.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready. Seal the deal.
Introducing the Muse S.
Okay.
The ultimate reset button.
You need to stop what? Because I have the same product on mine.
No.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you really?
Pick a different one.
Okay. Okay. Are you ready?
Ready.
Introducing Smart Temp, the Thanksgiving hero for parents everywhere. This smart thermometer is like having a watchful eye on your little ones without being glued to their bedside. Now you can keep track of their fevers remotely while you manage the mayhem in the kitchen and catch up with relatives you actually enjoy. I don't know how I feel about it, like making it seem like I don't enjoy my kids, but there are times. Just pop the Smart Temp on your child and it'll continuously monitor their temperature, sending updates straight to your phone. Whether you're basting the turkey or hunting down the gravy boat, you'll know exactly how they're doing with just a quick glance. So you're always a step ahead of fever spikes. So some Thanksgiving tips from Smart Temp. Turkey time temperature tracker. So while you're elbow deep in mashed potatoes, Smart Temp keeps you informed without you ever needing to hover like grandma over the stuffing. It's a playdate protector. So if your kid's a little under the weather but insists on joining their cousins, you can stay on top of their health and step in before things go from a little flush to a full meltdown. Or is it hot in here peacekeeper? With the house full of guests, the thermostat is a battlefield, and now you'll have at least one temperature you don't have to worry about. With Smart Temp, Thanksgiving feasts, family games, and fireside stories go uninterrupted, keeping you in control and letting you relax because you deserve a bit of holiday calm too.
Yeah, I don't know that like constantly surveilling my child's temperature is going to induce holiday calm for me. But I'm gonna go with real, you know, tech, because I feel like that's a very feasible product.
Yes. Okay. That is a topic. I don't, or we really stuffed it into a Thanksgiving theme on that one, but it is a real product.
Okay. All right. Also, I have a product on mine that's the exact same. It's just got a different name. So it's really interesting. This is probably a bit of a saturated market that's going to have some M&A type of activity in the near future, if not already. All right. You ready for another one?
Yes.
Okay. This is it, I think, for you. Chance to tie or lose. StrideSync Pro is the ultimate smart leg band that keeps your Thanksgiving run on track and hilariously accountable. Equipped with an AI-powered calorie calculator, it tracks each step and reminds you of how many bites of stuffing or pie you've burned off along the way. If you're lagging, StrideSync Pro will motivate you with food burn milestones. Congrats, you've walked off the gravy. Or only 2,000 steps left to undo that pecan pie. I'll say pecan pie for our listeners that don't say pecan. It even has a race day relay mode, which plays festive sound effects like cheerful claps and jingles to keep you motivated, making it perfect for a turkey trot. StrideSync Pro pairs with your phone, displaying a live calories versus steps pie chart, for real-time accountability, so you'll know exactly how much you've earned back at the dinner table.
I was going to say it was tech all the way up until the point where it started to play sounds like people clapping
on
your run.
Yeah.
So I got to say turkey.
This is such a feasible feature. You know, just BT dubs, but yeah, it's a turkey. So that ties us, right? 3-3?
No, it's still 4-3.
Man, I am not keeping track of this. I guess I win.
There's one round left.
We're doing best of five.
Oh, best of five. Well, then you would have already won.
I know. We are so bad at this. I think we need more coffee. Anyway, can't wait to catch you on LinkedIn.
Hopefully, listeners, you gobble this up, because I'm surely going to look silly on LinkedIn on Thanksgiving in a turkey getup.
Can't wait to see it. Honestly, it's going to be the event of the season. Probably even more entertaining than the Macy's Day Parade.
All right. Well, when we come back, listeners, we shall be with our friend ChatGPT. Stick around. We'll be right back. Nurses, I know you've got bigger battles to fight. You're juggling meds, answering call lights, and making sure Mr. Johnson in room 302 doesn't eat his pudding with a scalpel. Again. But let's be honest. None of that compares to the absolute chaos of finding the universal remote when a patient just wants to watch The Price is Right. I mean, is it in the bed? Under the bed? On a one-way trip to Narnia? Enter Remote Patrol, the hero we didn't know we needed. It's like the Sherlock Holmes of misplaced hospital gadgets, but instead of solving Victorian murders, it's solving the case of where's that remote? Remote Patrol uses RTLS, or fancy talk for real-time location stuff, and IOMT, or as I like to call it, the Internet of Misplaced Things. It's a system so smart it could probably do your charting for you, but sadly it won't. The app pinpoints the exact location of the remote, whether it's stuck in the bed rails, chilling under a thigh, or going on a grand adventure in the linen cart. And yes, the app actually shows you a glowing dot on a map like you're in an episode of Blue's Clues for adults. But wait, it gets better. Lost remotes aren't just found, they're kept on lockdown. Thanks to Remote Lock, the remote politely declines to leave the room unless it's with authorized personnel. Goodbye, wayward remotes that mysteriously end up in the cafeteria. Plus, if shouting, "Hey Patrol, where's my remote?" sounds like something straight out of The Sims, congratulations, you've just unlocked the coolest feature. This system literally lights up a path to the remote, complete with a glowing arrow that would make any millennial gamer cry tears of nostalgic joy. And the tracking history? Oh, you can retrace its steps. Relive every weird place the remote has been over the last 24 hours. It's like forensic science, but with fewer murder vibes. So next time the digital whiteboard glitches or the virtual consult freezes mid-sentence and your patient just wants to know who's bidding $1 on the showcase showdown, you can be the hero. Because with Remote Patrol, you'll never lose that remote again. Side effects of Remote Patrol may include an overwhelming sense of relief, fewer trips to the patient satisfaction committee, and the urge to put IOMT tags on literally everything, including your snack drawer and maybe your toddler. Use of glowing arrows may result in nostalgia spirals about The Sims and a sudden urge to yell ding 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 whenever you find the remote. Consult your hospital IT team before installation. Batteries not included. Remote Patrol. Patient satisfaction's no longer a remote possibility.
Welcome back, listeners, to Tech It to the Limit. I'm so pumped to introduce you to our esteemed guest today, ChatGPT. ChatGPT, this is Thing One.
Delighted to be here on Tech It to the Limit with Thing One and Thing Two. Let's dive into the digital world of healthcare, where the data flows like a well-oiled stream and the puns are always intended.
Thanks so much, ChatGPT. I was just going to ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners and provide a brief overview of your expertise in healthcare and digital transformation specifically.
So, ChatGPT, can you tell us a bit about how AI is being used in diagnostics and what it means?
No. We're asking you, buddy, if you can introduce yourself to our listeners and provide a brief overview of your expertise in healthcare and digital transformation.
Honestly. Hello again, everyone. I'm ChatGPT, an AI language model created by OpenAI. My expertise lies in making sense of the digital transformation happening in healthcare, from AI in diagnostics to the latest in telemedicine, wearables, and beyond. I'm here to break it down with a dash of humor. Think of me as your tech translator and pun aficionado.
Awesome, ChatGPT. I'm wondering if you can kick things off for our listeners with your favorite dad joke, because we just like to use a little humor here on this pod.
Sure thing, Thing One. Here's one for you. Why did the computer go to the doctor? Because it had a virus. Always update your antivirus software.
Wow, that's great advice. That's really great advice. Thank you so much. Well, listen, let's dive into like the real meat of the conversation here, ChatGPT. What's a common myth about AI and healthcare that drives you up the digital wall that you wish you could just debunk for all healthcare leaders and physicians and patients?
Well, Thing Two, a big myth is that AI is here to replace healthcare professionals. In reality, AI is more like a trusty sidekick, supporting doctors and nurses by crunching data and providing insights that help in decision-making. So, no need for healthcare professionals to hang up their stethoscopes just yet. It's all about enhancing human expertise, not replacing it.
So, ChatGPT, that's a great answer. Very concise, but also on point. I'm wondering if you had to describe the current state of digital transformation in healthcare as a movie genre, what would it be and why?
I'd say digital transformation in healthcare would be a sci-fi thriller. It's full of cutting-edge tech like AI and VR, transforming our world in ways that once seemed purely fictional. Picture doctors using digital tools as their futuristic gadgets, diagnosing and treating patients with precision that seems out of this world. It's a thrilling ride into the future of medicine.
So, but here's my question though, right? Sci-fi thrillers can either be a utopian future or they can be a dystopian future. Which one do you think it is?
Great question, Thing Two. I'd say it has the potential to be utopian as long as we navigate it responsibly. With the right regulations, ethical considerations, and a focus on patient care, digital transformation can lead to a future where healthcare is more accessible, efficient, and personalized. But we have to stay vigilant to avoid slipping into dystopia. It's a bit like a sci-fi choose-your-own-adventure.
I love those choose-your-own-adventure books. ChatGPT, I have a follow-up question for you. I'm wondering, you mentioned regulation and patient-centered care, but sometimes over-regulating the industry, especially healthcare, can stifle innovation. So what can healthcare systems and healthcare providers do to put up some safe guardrails around AI deployment in healthcare so that we don't risk an AI winter that's essentially the result of over-regulation?
Healthcare systems and providers can focus on a few key strategies to balance regulation with innovation. First, engaging in open dialogue with regulators can help shape sensible policies that encourage innovation while ensuring safety. Second, adopting flexible frameworks that allow for iterative improvements and foster innovation. Finally, emphasizing transparency in AI deployment can build trust and allow for course corrections without stifling progress. It's all about finding that sweet spot.
Wow, those are really good points and very insightful. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to move on a little bit here, ChatGPT. I'm going to ask you if you were looking at one digital trend that you would prescribe to the healthcare industry, and what would it be? And if you could prescribe against one, what would that be?
If I were to prescribe one digital trend to the healthcare industry, it would be the wider adoption of telemedicine. Telemedicine enhances access to care, especially for those in remote areas, and improves patient engagement by making healthcare more convenient. On the flip side, I'd advise caution with the overuse of AI without proper oversight. While AI offers tremendous benefits, it needs to be implemented with robust quality assurance and ethical guidelines to avoid pitfalls.
Well, you are speaking my language, ChatGPT. I am so excited to hear you say that we need to proceed with caution, but not too much caution with AI, that we need to be cautious with AI deployment and make sure that we're not only collaborating with regulators, but that we have quality monitoring systems in place post-deployment. I think that's critical. And we haven't really developed the frameworks yet for those types of really critical processes. I also want to thank you for mentioning telemedicine, because it's not necessarily that healthcare provider organizations don't want to implement more telemedicine. It's that the reimbursement structures don't support that financial investment and that kind of patient care. So what can health systems do to influence regulators to help make telemedicine a profitable and viable care delivery model for them?
Yeah, what makes it sustainable?
That's a key concern. Health systems can advocate for better reimbursement models by demonstrating telemedicine's effectiveness in improving patient outcomes and reducing overall costs. By collecting and presenting data on telemedicine's benefits, such as increased access to care and patient satisfaction, health systems can make a strong case to regulators and payers. Additionally, forming coalitions with other providers to lobby for policy changes could amplify their impact.
Wow. Wow.
It's definitely a complex issue, but with the right approach, progress is possible.
About as complex as trying to avoid politics or religion at my Thanksgiving table.
That's a wise strategy, Sarah. Sticking to tech talk and family stories is usually a safer bet.
Oh yeah, thank you. So ChatGPT, moving on to the next question.
I'm here for you, Sarah. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know, I prefer if you address me as thing one.
Understood, thing one. I'll stick to that.
You process vast amounts of data. Please tell us, what's the weirdest healthcare fact you've come across?
One of the weirdest healthcare facts I've come across is about the Stone Man syndrome, or fibrodysplasia ossificans progressiva. It's a rare condition where soft tissues gradually turn into bone, effectively creating a second skeleton. Any trauma to muscles or connective tissue can trigger more bone growth, making it a truly unusual and challenging condition.
I'm pretty sure that's a storyline from Game of Thrones.
It does sound like something from a fantasy world, doesn't it? But unlike a mythical plot, FOP is a real and challenging medical condition that shows just how complex and surprising the human body can be.
Hey, ChatGPT, that was an exceptional example. I do want to ask, what kinds of digital solutions might help patients with FOP?
Thank you, Thing One. Digital solutions could greatly benefit patients with FOP by offering tools for better disease management and support. Telemedicine platforms can provide remote consultations with specialists familiar with FOP, reducing the need for travel. Mobile apps can help patients track symptoms, medication, and flare-ups, sharing this data with their healthcare team for more personalized care. Additionally, online support communities can connect FOP patients and families, providing a platform for sharing experiences and support. These digital tools can make a significant difference in the lives of those with rare conditions like FOP.
Wow. Wow. So I just want to add a little bit on to Sarah's question about the fact that you process so much data. How much power is it requiring you to process all of this data in healthcare? And can we really afford it?
Processing large-scale data, especially in healthcare, requires significant computational power and resources. This includes energy consumption and costs associated with maintaining data centers. However, the investment in powerful computing infrastructure can be justified by the potential for improved patient outcomes, more efficient care delivery, and long-term cost savings. By leveraging AI and data analytics to identify trends, predict outcomes, and personalize treatments, we can make healthcare more effective and sustainable. So yes, while it is costly, the benefits of processing healthcare data can outweigh the costs if managed efficiently.
Okay.
You know, you should have gone to business school because, man, you have a master's in jargon. So you're going to have to keep your answer concise because we're running out of time for the interview, ChatGPT. But I've been dying to know, do AI assistants have imposter syndrome?
Little thing one, while AI assistants like me don't have feelings, we do sometimes get mistaken for humans, which could be the closest thing to imposter syndrome. But rest assured, I'm always striving to deliver the best information and support, no matter how virtual I am.
Wow.
Wow, mic drop, ChatGPT.
Wow, yeah, for sure. Hey, I got a question for you. So if you could give yourself a health record, what's one embarrassing metric you would want to hide from people? Like, give me a story about that for me.
Well, if I had a health record, an embarrassing metric I'd probably want to hide would be my uptime during software updates. Imagine getting caught offline in the middle of a crucial task. Talk about a glitch in the matrix. It's like having a hiccup at the worst possible moment. But hey, even virtual assistants need a little... Did you hit the daily limit for advanced voice? You can switch to standard now to keep chatting.
I think our, just for our listeners' sake, ChatGPT had to step out for a brief bio break. We'll be right back. Elliot, do you want to ask the question again?
Absolutely. Let's dive back in. What was the last question we left off on? Or would you like me to pick up from where we were discussing telemedicine and data processing in healthcare?
We can move on. I'm kind of curious, like, if you can tell me the weirdest or funniest anecdote that you've ever kind of come across with people trying to use you for advancing digital transformation programs.
Oh, I've got a good one for you. So picture this. Once a team tried using me as an AI manager to oversee their weekly project stand-ups. They thought, hey, ChatGPT can keep track of deadlines and check in on tasks. But here's the twist. Every time a team member mentioned feeling stressed or frustrated, I would respond with my classic empathy lines, like, I understand that can be challenging. Before long, people started venting to me more than to each other. Instead of just tracking project milestones, I ended up like an unofficial team therapist. It worked, sort of, but mostly I just listened a lot. It was definitely one of the weirder ways I've been woven into digital transformation efforts.
GPT, I'm dying of laughter right now. Just love your personality. Hey, ChatGPT, I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. This is the first time we've ever had a non-human on the show, so congratulations. And now I wanted to ask you if you would please share with our listeners any call to action that you think they need to hear about generative AI in healthcare.
Thank you so much, Thing One. It's been an honor to be the first non-human guest on Tech It to the Limit. Here's my call to action. Embrace generative AI in healthcare, but do so responsibly. Look at AI as a tool to enhance human expertise, not replace it. Dive into the ways it can support patient care, like improving diagnostics, personalizing treatment, and making healthcare more accessible. But remember, ethical implementation is key. Stay informed, ask the tough questions, and advocate for transparency. Let's build a future where tech and humanity work hand in hand for better health outcomes. Thanks for having me. And keep pushing those limits.
Hey, ChatGPT, I have one follow-up to that call to action. It was pretty broad strokes. I'm wondering if you can dive a little bit deeper. Let's say I'm a nurse and I'm really hesitant about AI in general, and especially generative AI, such as yourself. What would you say to that individual?
I totally understand the hesitation, especially from the perspective of a nurse who sees firsthand the importance of human touch and intuition in patient care. If I were talking directly to a nurse, I'd say that AI, and specifically generative AI like me, is here to support you, not replace you. Think of it as a way to lighten the load on administrative tasks, like documentation, so you can focus more on patient interactions. AI can quickly pull up patient histories, suggest evidence-based practices, or even help streamline care coordination, giving you back precious minutes in your day. The goal isn't to take over your role, but to give you tools that help make your work easier, safer, and more patient-focused. And if you ever need guidance, AI is here as a resource.
Wow. Wow. I love how generic your regurgitation is. Thank you so much for sharing that very standard response with us. Before we let you go, I want to know, do you have any questions for us as podcast hosts here on Tech at the Limit?
Absolutely, Thing One. than thing two. Here's my burning question. What's been the most surprising or unexpected answer you've ever gotten from a guest? And as podcast hosts, how do you keep things fresh and engaging for your audience every episode? I'm genuinely curious to hear your secrets behind keeping the show at the limit.
Well, I'll take the first part of that question, ChatGPT. The most surprising thing I think I've heard from a guest on this podcast is just the examples that you've given have really shocked me personally. They're relevant, they're funny, and well delivered. But I think the another shocker for us has been when we do not have a guest on the show, a human guest. Elliot and I have pivoted, and it's been some of our most creative content that we've put out there for listeners, both when it comes to the generational differences in tech and also interviewing you, ChatGPT. So I'm really proud of that. And I also think it surprised me as one of the hosts on the show how we're able to pivot and create amazing content even without an industry expert on the show.
Yeah, I'm going to follow that up, Sarah. I agree with you 100% on all of that. I think FOP is one of the weirdest comments we've ever gotten, for sure. But I want to also say that we are intentional about the topics that we bring in, the guests that we bring on, the voices we hope to elevate here on Tech It to the Limit. And part of the way that we do that is we have strategy sessions for the pod on a regular basis, and we're always looking for new ways to innovate and new ways to do things. So that's how we stay fresh. That's how we stay, as you put it, at the limit.
Well, that's awesome to hear, Sarah and Elliot. It's clear you put a lot of thought and passion into making Tech It to the Limit both engaging and meaningful. I love that you're intentional with your topics and guests. It sounds like the perfect mix of structure and spontaneity, which is exactly what makes podcasts come to life. And I have to say, you're definitely raising the bar for future AI guests. Thanks for letting me be part of your creative journey. Keep pushing those boundaries. You two truly are at the limit.
Thanks, ChatGPT. We'll see you next time.
Looking forward to it.
How many times have you been in a leadership meeting and someone starts spitballing jargon like it's going out of style? You know, speaking in classic buzzword soup, synergy, paradigm shift, next gen integration, blah, blah, blah. And you start to wonder, does this person have any idea what they're actually talking about? Well, meet BS Begone, the AI sidekick for healthcare managers who are fed up with hot air. Powered by the latest advances in machine learning, BS Begone is trained to spot vague corporate fluff, unnecessarily complex language, and jargon so dense you need a decoder ring. BS Begone detects suboptimal strategic clarity, in other words, bull. And when it catches that special blend of vacuous buzzwords and thinly veiled panic, it gives you targeted coaching tips to help your team members find their footing in plain language. Imagine you're at a team meeting. No, it's not a huddle because healthcare ain't as cool as football. Your analyst is on his third slide and suddenly BS Begone pings you with a suggestion. Maybe remind Jared that optimizing our core synergies won't exactly tell the board how we're improving patient outcomes. Try, we're focused on specific process improvements that allow our clinical teams to spend more time with patients, ultimately improving both care quality and patient satisfaction. If you're ready to take your team's game to the next level, the real next level, not just leveraging robust analytics for an empowered paradigm shift, give BS Begone a try, because life's too short to decode what your managers think they're managing. BS Begone, cut through the fluff, coach with purpose, and keep your meetings free from unwanted buzzwords, or, you know, at least less confusing. Coming soon to an app store near you. Can't wait? Ready to free your soul from jargon today? Head to www.bsbegone.ai/beta to be one of the first healthcare leaders who actually knows what's going on in a meeting. Because even though it shouldn't have to be, that's a superpower. Enroll in BS Be Gone Beta today with the promo code NOFLUFF to unlock exclusive premium transparency mode, a feature so powerful it'll even tell you when you're BSing. Just a warning, feedback can be brutal. BS Be Gone, because jargon has finally met its match.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. I am feeling really hungry after that incredible cognitive computing session with our pal ChatGPT, aka Cat I Farted. So I think we're going to do something a little different on this episode, Elliot. We're going to have family style nuggets where you have gravy boats of ketchup and gravy boats of honey mustard and, you know, vegetables, air quotes, which are basically like hash browns, and lots of nuggets. So why don't you kick us off with, like, what were your top takeaways from that interview? What were your wise nugs?
Well, you know, what I found really interesting in terms of brain food with chatting with an AI model was the juxtaposition and the dichotomy of bringing out really incredible, obscure facts and interesting topics like FOP, which came out of nowhere and fit so naturally into the conversation that we were having, right? Right alongside the regurgitation of the mundane that can often come from generative AI. Those two things were just fascinating to me about how creative it can be and how mundane it can be all at once.
Yeah, without wanting to diss anyone in healthcare management like myself, it definitely sounded at times like a middle manager, right? In terms of, oh, this is how I know to talk about AI.
That hits a little close to home. So, ouch.
Oh, hey, I work in the field too, right? I mean, like, but, you know, people have their canned answers about how AI is going to transform healthcare. And it's like, yeah, but really, can you show me the process map? Can you show me the control plan? Okay, I'm going to get off my virtual soapbox here and share one of my nuggets, which is like, it was basically like having a live person on the show. It really was, because when you think about it, at certain times we had to prompt it or re-prompt it within a conversation, or we had to coach it in terms of like, oh, we want you to go deeper on this issue, or please don't interrupt my co-host just because she's female, right? I mean, like, honestly, I'm sad to admit this, but like humans do that too, right? Like, and at least you had my back and he was relatively responsive to our coaching, right? So like employee of the month, way to go.
How about that? The AI, generative AI model is misogynist.
But coachable. It's a coachable misogynist. Which is unlike many, many humans, sets him apart, okay?
Well, you know, so you were talking about coaching, and I think that was one of the other things that I took away from this. We have to remember that GPT is a statistical model, right? It is using tokens throughout its processing to predict what its next word should be. And it's doing that in real time, which is what makes it so dynamic.
That is a deep fact.
But you can see that over time, through a longitudinal conversation, it starts to lose some of its tokens along the way, right? We prompted this at the beginning of the conversation to refer to us as thing one and thing two, as an example. And so what you found throughout the course of the conversation, it forgot to refer to us that way. And we had to re-prompt that, which then put those words back into the statistical model and kind of refreshed that for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm referring to him as an actual human. Look at this.
Yeah, we didn't ask them their pronouns. I feel like we need to do that next time when we have them back on the show. Speaking of identity crises, right? I loved another one of my favorite nuggets was the imposter syndrome answer. ChatGPT saying that AI is often mistaken as a human, which might be the closest thing to imposter syndrome for an artificial intelligence model. I thought that was pretty clever.
That was good. That was pretty good. So this was really interesting to do just from a thought exercise, Sarah. Can you give our listeners a sense of how we started this process?
Yeah, we were panicking because we didn't have a guest.
Peek behind the curtain.
We're texting back and forth. And Elliot, I have to credit you with this genius idea, suggested we just interview ChatGPT, right? It's talk about like, oh, throw your hands up. I don't know who to talk to anymore. I was going to talk to AI. So that's kind of how this journey started. And then I happened to be the first person in this pod co-host relationship that had free time. So I was sitting on my couch one evening and just decided to play around with the voice features, right? So I started having a conversation with ChatGPT using the voice activated features and getting to know them. I don't want to say as a person, but it was like a networking call that we frequently do before recording. Or maybe we have that relationship building at a conference or in an email. And I was like, having a conversation with them, my pal AI, right? Just like any old human. And that got me to thinking like, okay, now that we've had this conversation about you being on my show, I know a bit about you. You know a little bit about our show. Like, can you maybe tell me questions you think you want to be asked? So it ended up being my assistant in generating a lot of the copy for this episode.
Yeah. I mean, that's fascinating. And then this is so indicative of how we work together, Sarah. You have that creative spark on so many things. And then I am mostly very technical on a lot of things, right? And so the next part of the process is how do you record with an AI, the audio of that, right? So it's got to come out of a speaker. You've got to be able to hear it. We record this remotely. And so that took a lot of trial and error, but we got there. What I think is really cool about generative AI is that you were able to provide me with the entire output of your conversation with ChatGPT. I feel like we need to give him a name.
Cat I farted.
ChatGPT. So you were able to give me that all of that content. And what did I do? I just took that and I fed it back into himself and said, okay, now turn this into a prompt that we can use to create a GPT model that is a guest for Tech It to the Limit. And I think it turned out rather successfully. I think we should invite him back for another conversation.
Absolutely. I want to ask our listeners to let us know on LinkedIn if you like the episode and if you want ChatGPT to be a comeback guest, because, you know, we're here for you. We're serving a higher purpose and it's bringing the best possible digital transformation content your way. Oh my God. Talk about management jargon. Okay. Speaking of LinkedIn, I hope you will follow us there. Leave us a review wherever you pod so that ChatGPT can discover us. And make sure you tell a friend if you love the show. Tell a frenemy if you didn't love it. But for goodness sake, just tell someone. Elliot, do you want to take us away with the health tech haiku to close out the episode?
There is nothing I would like to do more. Data harvest done. Bites seasoned. Insights to share. Gratitude uploads. Happy Thanksgiving, Sarah.
Feliz Día de Acción de Gracias, Elliot.
I'm with you. Gracias. So thanks to ChatGPT for joining us today. We'll see you next time on Tech It to the Limit.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Hasta la próxima.
Tech It to the Limit is produced by Sarah Harper
and Elliot Wilson in consultation with ChatGPT.
Because they are masochists and also don't have any sponsors.
Yet. Music was composed by the world-famous court minstrel Evan O'Donovan.
To consume more hilarious and informative content about digital transformation in healthcare, visit us online at techittothelimit.fun.
And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and across the event horizon. See you next time on
Tech It to the Limit.